Thanks, guys. So some of you may have noticed by now, if you are a regular here, you may have noticed Pastor Jason, like I just referenced, and Mandy are gone this week. They are back in Montana visiting family. And so, again, I'm so glad that it's been a while since they've had a chance. I know recently they had one Sunday, but it's been a long stretch where they've been here every week. And so I'm so glad that they have had a chance to go back and visit family and to do those things. We're so thankful. I don't know about you guys, but I'm thankful for what they do and who they are and the ministry that they've done here at this church. So when you see them again, and I'm reminded of that again when I think about this tech stuff back here when it falls apart and you're like, where's Jason? Where's Jason to fix this? So say thank you when you see them. I hope they have a great time and are refreshed that way. But that means I'm going to share this morning. I get a chance to speak. As I was planning and preparing for this morning, I was thinking, I just got back from camp. We just got back from camp. We took two groups of students to camp. We took the junior hires. Maya brought kids before that in June, but we took junior hires in early July. And then late July, we just brought our senior teen crew. And we just got back from camp. That's why I'm actually a little sick. Every year, I go to camp, and it is like, okay, when's it going to happen? And it happened for me on Sunday night after camp. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, there it is. I'm feeling sick. I'm still trying to kick that a little bit. But aside from sickness, camp is incredible. Camp is incredible. It is so neat to see what God is doing and did in lives of students there at camp. There was 1,400 students, senior high kids, this last week that we were there. They've had record numbers of students that come from across the state of Minnesota, some from Iowa and Fargo, to come to camp. It is an amazing week. And not only is it amazing for the teenagers, the students, when they go, but it is incredible when you go as an adult, too. You're just there, and when there's 1,400 other people just going after God, it is inspiring. It is encouraging. Your faith is encouraged and challenged. And so as much as I watch students go to camp and get fired up for Jesus, like, I come back and I'm like, yeah, let's go. Like, we're doing that song. I don't even know the name. What's the name of the song, Aiden? That last one you were doing? I Thank God. And this is all at camp. They're jumping and turning around. You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy, but that's just normal at camp, okay? Like, it is excitable. It is fun. And it's just really, it comes from this place of just going after God with everything that we are. It is so encouraging. And part of that is kind of what led me to what I wanted to share tonight or today, this morning. As they were at camp, like, you watch students respond to Jesus for the first time. A lot of these kids come, they're invited by a friend. They have no idea what it's all about other than they're like, there's going to be sweet games. It's a week away. Super fun. And so they come, and honestly, it's so cool to watch students respond to Jesus for the first time. Again, you know, usually that first night, there's an opportunity for students to choose Jesus. And when you see that, guys, it just, first of all, reminds you of like those moments where God spoke to you for the first time, where you really had this understanding that God is real, He's alive, and He wants a relationship with me. And it's so powerful, and it's so neat to watch students just be impacted that way, watching so many recommit their lives, right? Life is hard. Life is bumpy. It gets hard. There's a lot of distractions. There's a lot of difficult things that happen in our lives, and it is easy to get distracted. It's easy to be consumed by those things, to take our eyes off of God and to start putting them on our own self and our lives and all the things that are happening. And watching kids just kind of come to this place where we're, you know, they've had these moments with God, and then, you know, school and all these other things have happened, and so it's easy for them to lose sight of what matters most, and that's Jesus. And just to see that heart be reignited for Jesus, that passion for Jesus to be reignited, is powerful. And again, it's a reminder. I'm sharing these things with you so that you can be encouraged. I was encouraged as I witnessed these things and got to be a part of it. And I know it's not the same. I know it's not the same when you're not there, but seeing that happen is so powerful. Seeing students confess sin and just asking God to forgive and leading them to this place of repentance, powerful. Watching kids function in the giftings of the Holy Spirit, and just watching kids prophesying and praying over other students. I had a couple of students that prayed over me, not even from my group, and just walked away encouraged by what they prayed over me and what other students were praying for other students. It was impactful. And then lastly, just watching this rekindled passion, like I mentioned, for Jesus. I watched that, and it's hard. I use my kids a lot of times as examples, and it's not me like bragging about my kids, but it's so fun to watch. Like specifically, I was watching Aiden and just watching God do things in his life. It's not because Aiden is an amazing kid, but it's not because he's the only amazing kid out there in this world. But God was truly doing a neat work in his life. And when we came back this last Wednesday, we had our last summer games, like I had mentioned. And I actually asked Aiden if he wanted to share. And he had mentioned earlier, he's like, yeah, I'd be willing to share. It's been a little bit of a struggle getting students to share because our group has grown so much in the summer. It went from like 100 to like 200 kids. And so when it comes to sharing, some of them are like, yeah, no, I can't do that. And you can understand, right? You can understand. That would be a little intimidating. And Aiden had offered that. And he said, Dad, I'd be willing to share one of these weeks this summer. And I said, all right, I wanted to give other students a chance too. But after camp, I was like, yeah, you know what? I want to ask Aiden to share. And he got up and just shared his heart for the lost, right? That was one of the last things that at camp, they really encouraged students, like, okay, what does this mean for going home? It's awesome that we can have these moments and experiences on a Sunday morning or at a week of camp or at youth convention where you just have these powerful encounters with God. But none of that matters if we don't come home and it changes the way we live. It changes the way we see this world and the way we interact with people. And so Aiden shared his heart for the lost and encouraged, I think he was encouraged, but also was encouraging other students, like, hey, what if we all went after God with our whole hearts? What if we said, you know what? There's people that don't know Jesus in our world that desperately need to know who he is. What if we said, God, use me. Send me. Let me be that example. Let me be that light in the darkness. Let me be your representative. Let me be your hands and feet. And it was powerful. Like, it was powerful, and I think students were challenged, and I think honestly, a lot of them walked away saying, yeah, like, this is our mission. This is our responsibility. And that led me to today, this morning. I was encouraged. I've been thinking about this. The longer you serve Jesus, sometimes, and I'm speaking for myself, and maybe some of you can relate, but sometimes it's easy to get into our own little worlds, to get in our own heads, to kind of lose sight of the people around us, and to not be focused on the lost and this heart for lost people. And I was convicted. I mean, I was convicted as I was thinking about this. I'm like, I was feeling convicted. Like, God, it's so easy just to glance over people and to not really see them the way that you see them. God has such a heart for each and every one of us, including people who don't know him at this point. And he wants them to have an encounter with him. And I believe he wants to use us, the church, to have those encounters, to help people have those encounters with him. And so I wanted to share, there are a couple of really, really common parables out of Luke. I know Jason shared about these, and he's done a great job of just kind of highlighting, these parables and kind of bringing them to life. But really, this idea of lost things. Jesus is talking. Luke is recording this, but these are Jesus' words as he's sharing. It's in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. That's the parable of the lost sheep. And then verses 8 through 10 is the parable of the lost coin. And like I said, it's so easy, right? We talk about the importance of reaching the lost. And this is not a new message, right? If you've been in church any amount of time, you've heard, we need to reach the lost, right? You know that it's important. We know that it's important, but sometimes it's easy to lose sight of that. And that's my heart today, is that at the end of all of this, that you would be reminded, you would be encouraged, just like I was and am still being encouraged and reminded, that it's so important that we have a heart for lost people. Not just saying it, but really God gives us this deep burden, this deep sense of like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, where it is the focus, it is the direction of our life. We move in intentionality as we are reaching out and trying to be a light to the people around us. And these parables, I believe, really show us the heartbeat of God. They show us God's heart for the lost. And in this, they're supposed to be fairly dramatic examples of what it's like to lose something. And if you were to lose that valuable thing, how important it is to go after that. And what Jesus is trying to say is you would go after these things if you lost them with a passion, with an intensity, with a lot of purpose. And those would become priority. There would be an urgency if you lost these things. And he uses examples that would have been very understandable of that time. I'm going to give you an illustration after I read these ones of something that would be very understandable today, right? If you were to lose that thing or person, there would become an urgency and a passion to find it. And so in chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus is saying this, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus or Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. There's an important little detail right there. This is suggesting that if Jesus was around people that weren't serving him, that weren't followers of God, and this is where he thought it was important to be, then we probably should be people that are also around people that don't know Jesus. Now, Jason mentions this a couple weeks ago. Obviously, the people that are your closest friends need to be people that are pursuing Jesus, right? That are spurring you along to be better. But man, church, if we, and I am guilty of this at times, if we are not surrounding ourselves and we're not intentionally around people who don't know Jesus, then we're missing the heartbeat of God. We are missing the heartbeat of God. And this, they were upset. They were upset with Jesus because he was hanging out with these people. And they're like, what are you doing with those people? They're bad. Like, can you imagine it, right? Those are bad people. Like, you shouldn't be hanging out with those people. They're messed up. They got a lot of baggage. And that's right where Jesus was. So Jesus tells them this story. So Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. And Jesus isn't saying that the 99 aren't important, that they're not important. But what you're supposed to be catching in this is that God sees those people that are lost, those sinners, those people that sometimes are like, ugh, like they got some messes in their life. And he cares deeply about them. And what I'm trying to say is that camp and just listening to Aiden share at summer games and hearing his heart and that burden for lost people. And you can just see it's not just, oh, we need to have a heart for the lost. You know, it's God, help me to truly care about these people the way that you care about lost people. That you would leave the 99 and go after the one that's missing. And that our hearts would truly break for those that don't know Jesus. And guys, it is so easy for me to fall into that same pattern of, you know, we forget, we lose sight, and we just start glancing over people. And, you know, you look past them, and they're just people that are in the way sometimes. Instead of, no, these are people that God put in front of me for a reason. I have an opportunity to share Jesus with the people around me. And I know I'm not alone. I know our human nature sometimes is we get selfish. We get complacent. We're like, I'm good with God, so I don't really need to be so worried about everybody else. I get that. That's why, I mean, I'll tell you what, hanging out with teenagers, it keeps you locked in. You're just like, God, I want that same passion that they have for lost people. And I want us as a church. And when I say these things, hear me when I say this. I'm not saying that we're completely failing and that we all have room to grow. And that's what I'm trying to say is we all have room to grow in this area. I've seen so many of you do so great. I love watching people invite people and they're investing in them and they're hanging out with them. That's so awesome. I think about Mindy and Steve Sandberg, they're not here today, but usually they have some friends or some people that they're hanging out with, and not just hanging out with them as friends, but people that they're like, God, use us to minister to these people. And so it's like, I see this, we're doing a good job, but I also feel like, man, sometimes we need this reminder and we need to be encouraged and challenged to do more. I need that in my life. I have had a very challenging last year. I've had conversations with a lot of you, and have explained kind of what I was going through, and to be completely honest with you, I'm still in process, right? I had anxiety as a young man in my 20s, came out of nowhere, didn't really know what was going on, didn't know what it was. I was like, what is going on? Hit me like a ton of bricks, and to the point where I'm like, God, I don't know. Like, I was not like, God, I don't know about you, but God, I don't know if I can do this. Like, I was struggling. And this last year, again, anxiety had crept in. I look back at all the circumstances, all the things that led up to it. I'm like, yeah, okay, I was probably overdoing it. Had way too much going on, too many irons in the fire. Just burned myself out. I burned myself out and was hit with anxiety in a way that I hadn't struggled with anxiety since I was in my 20s. And I'll tell you what, guys, like over this last year, like it's been hard. Like it's been hard to keep my eyes on the lost and the people that are broken and hurting. And it's been really easy for me to just be consumed on myself and how I feel and what I'm going through. And I'm not saying there isn't a time for you to take care of yourself, right? Where there's a time where you need to, you know, you need to work through some things. But I also need to be reminded, like, we're a part of a mission. And I'm so thankful that God is carrying me through this season. There's been so much restoration. There's days where it's still a struggle. I'll be honest. There's days where it's still a struggle. But I'm so grateful that God has been faithful in this. And honestly, it's like there has been healing. And I need this just as much as probably any of you need this reminder that, man, we are on a mission. God, give me the same heart for the lost that you have. Just like in this parable. The next parable, the parable of the lost coin. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And then when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, "Rejoice with me because I have found my lost coin." In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God, God's angels, when even one sinner repents. Jesus is trying to communicate. He's trying to communicate, like, lost people matter. We all matter, right? Every one of us, God cares deeply about each one of us. And I pray, right, if you're not at that spot where you're, like, ready to reach out to the lost and you're just like, I don't even know. Like, I don't even know where I'm at in this faith journey. Know that God is pursuing you the same way that you would pursue that lost sheep or you would go after that lost coin. That's what Jesus is trying to say is God is actively pursuing you. That nudge that you feel, that tug on your heart that you feel, that's God. That's God saying, I want to bring you back to this place. I want to bring you back to me. I want to restore you. I want to make you new. I want to make you whole. I have good plans and good things for your life. And he wants that for each one of us. Each and every one of us. And there are times, like I said at camp, where students were dealing with this, where they had these moments with God that were powerful, they were impactful, they were real, genuine, and then life kind of beats you up and throws you around, and then all of a sudden you're not living for Jesus the way that you know you should be. He's pursuing you. He wants you to come back to him. I really believe that God wants to use us in that process. So as we talk about sheep and lost coins, right, it's maybe some of you don't, you know, like I'm not a farmer, okay, so sheep, I'm like, cool, yeah, I don't really know a lot about sheep, but there are some examples that I would share that maybe would be a little bit more relatable If you lost your phone, some of you might all of a sudden flip the house upside down and you would, yes, right, yeah, people are laughing because, yeah, as soon as that thing is lost, that's like that lost coin. Like, where is it? I can't go on. I watched the teenagers a little bit struggle at camp as they were like, for the week of camp, we take away their phones. Well, we try. I should say we try. Some of my older students have come back since and like, John, I actually gave you a burner phone. It wasn't, I was like, are you kidding me? I trusted you. Like, I thought you were honest. I was like, but anyway, we take away their phones for the week because we don't want them to miss what God has to do or what God wants to do in their life. And, but you should see the separation the separation anxiety they face from losing that phone. So that might help you to understand what, that's the way that God, the way that you're looking for that phone and you're trying to find it, that's the way that God is coming after you, that's pursuing you. I think about a time as a parent, and some of you might be able to relate to this, where I lost my daughter for a moment. None of you have done that, right? Nobody? How many of you lost your kid for a little while, just a little while? Okay, yeah, you know, that's scary. That's freaky stuff. We were at a hotel in the cities, and it was a big hotel, a lot of floors. And Adeline had a lot of fun, was having a lot of fun on the elevator. She was pretty little. I don't know how old she was for sure. I think maybe 3 or so. And we were heading out. We were making our way down to the elevator. Of course, you know, you're getting all your stuff out of the room, and you're, okay, we got everything. And she runs down to the elevator and didn't think of anything of it right away. All of a sudden, we start heading that way, and we get over there, and she's gone. And we're like, oh, no. Like, where did she go? Like, because you're like, she could be on any floor right now. She could be on, I think there was 10 or so floors. Just any floor she could be on. And the panic starts to set in, right? That panic of, oh, no. Like, she, like, what if the wrong person finds her? What if she goes to the bottom floor and goes outside? I mean, who knows? And I don't know why, but I jumped in the elevator. I was like, I'm just going to go up one floor. Maybe that was a God thing, but it ended up working out okay. So I go up the one floor, and immediately, like, I started walking down the hall, and there's this family that had found her and was sitting with her. And I was like, oh, you know, like that moment of relief sets in. But that the point is, like, nothing else mattered in that moment. When Adeline was missing and I was like, oh, no, where is she? Nothing else mattered. There became an urgency, right? There was an urgency. We need to find Adeline. Nothing else was more important in that moment except for finding Adeline. And I think sometimes it's easy for us to hear these stories about the lost sheep, the lost coin, or losing a kid. And we can relate to that, or losing your phone. You can relate to that sense of urgency and the importance of that moment of pursuing whatever it is that was lost. And for me, like, as I was reading through this, it was such a good reminder for me. Like, this is the way that God pursues us. God cares deeply about our lives. He cares about who we are. And he is actively pursuing us and trying to call us back to this right relationship with him. And I find so much encouragement in knowing that that's the type of father that we serve. He's a good God. He's not just abandoning us and leaving us to our own demise. He cares deeply about us and is trying to call us back to him. We need to understand that. Because when I look back on my life, there's so many times where I can see God was, like, I grew up in a Christian home. You know, I strayed away for a season. I got caught up in wanting to belong and fit in and be accepted by my peers. And so it was like, you know, we don't say that, but I was trying to be cool. Like, we don't say that, we don't admit that out loud, but I was trying to fit in and belong. And so I was willing to compromise what I knew. I knew better. But that longing, that deep longing to want to be accepted by friends pulled me away from God for a season. But I can look back on all the times where I'm like, God was speaking into my life. He was actively pursuing me and calling me back to him. And part of that story is God wants to use us. Right, we become part of that story. We become part of the team of seeking. God comes to seek and to save those who are lost. Comes to seek and to save those who are lost, and he is using the church. Right, he's using me and you, and so it's so important. Not that we can't fabricate this. We can't just conjure this up in ourselves, but as we are moved by who God is, letting it then become, or then let it move us towards people and have that same heart for the lost, right? That same urgency that I had to go find Adeline, I want that to be that to become my prayer for my own life. God, let me have that urgency to go after people the way that I was going after my daughter when she was lost in that moment. So God has that sense of urgency. God has that, I've come to seek and to save those who are lost. But now allowing that to come into our own lives, right? Give us that heart to seek and to save those who are lost. Obviously, we don't do the saving, right? I want to be clear on that. We don't save people. And there are times where people are going to choose their own path. And there's nothing we can do about that. But there are things that are in our control. And the things that are in our control, I'm like, God, help me to be better in this area. So what does that look like? I want to give some practical tips. What does that look like? I'm not saying that I'm perfect in this and that I've mastered it, but if God wants to use us in this process of reaching lost people, what does that look like on a daily basis? Sometimes I think we overcomplicate reaching the lost. We think, oh, that means I have to be this great theologian, I have to be this great speaker, and I have to get up in front of crowds of people and share my faith. And honestly, rarely is that the case. Rarely is that the case. Most often, I think seeking or searching and helping find people and leading them to Jesus is just through relationship. It's just through connecting with people. Being intentional. I wrote down a couple things. I wrote down urgency. What does that look like? It's God, give me this heart of urgency that this matters. It matters that people know Jesus. Eden Kirschman, I had a chance at camp. She was praying one night and God had just really spoke to her heart. And all of a sudden she had this overwhelming sense of it's so important. There are like all of a sudden her eyes were just opened up to this. There are so many that don't know Jesus right now. Have you ever had that moment where all of a sudden it's like, God, like there are a lot of lost people around us. And that's not judging the people around us. But all of a sudden God really shows you and reveals to you, like there's a lot of lost and broken and hurting people in this world. And she was broken and crying and like, John, like there's so many people that are lost and broken and hurting right now. And all of a sudden she's like, it matters. There's an urgency. So when students are walking down the halls and we're just worried about like, you know, okay, do I belong or do I fit in today? Or, you know, are people going to look at me funny? Or as adults, like when we're in the workplace, it's like, man, what are people going to think about me if I'm living out my faith loudly? Instead of letting that guide our decisions and how we move forward, suddenly this idea of like, there's an urgency. It matters. Life is short, man. I know it's all relative to where you're at in the whole line, right? In the whole scheme of things. But I remember, you know, older people would be like, oh, John, it goes fast. You just watch. And you're like, oh, yeah, okay. You know, you like, sure. And then now at 41, I'm like, yeah, I'm starting to understand that. And then they're like, it only gets worse, John. You're like, okay, all right, I'm listening now. I'm listening. But it's so true. Life goes so fast. We are here today and gone tomorrow. And I know that's maybe a little depressing to think about, but it's the reality. And it should create an urgency within us where it's like, it matters. All the things that we sometimes think matter so much really don't matter as much as we think they do. What matters is people, the people that are around us and saying, God, how can I be used in this process of reaching the lost? Having an urgency. Just like when Addie was lost in that hotel. I want that to be my prayer, and I hope that's your prayers. God, the same way that nothing else was more important in that moment than finding Addie, God, let that be my heart for the lost. The people that I'm around, God, help me to see them with that urgency. Being intentional. That's, I think, the key right there a lot of times. It's being thoughtful, being intentional, being prayerful when you're walking through everyday life. Because God is going to, we already have those people in our life. There are people all around us, and we're interacting with them in different, you know, different relationships and things like that. We have family members. We have friends. We have coworkers. We have people that we're on the same team with. We have all these different interactions, and it's like our prayer should become, God, give me a heart for the urgency of this, but start to show me these people and to see these people the way that you see them. Instead of just, it's so easy, like I said, to just pass by people, to pass by them and just to kind of look over them, look past them. And a lot of times it's not even in a, I'm better than you. It's more in a, I've got so many things to do right now. I'm so guilty of that at times. Just, I got to get this done. So I'm at Home Depot and it's like, well, there's somebody there. I gotta duck away, hide over here, get over here so they don't see me so I can check out and get on my way and finish my big project I'm working on. I've done that before. Not always. There's other times where I do better at that. And I'm like, no, God, I want to be used by you in these places. I think about soccer. There's a lot of times where we have kids in soccer. And so a big part of that is, you know, this summer there was a lot of tournaments and things like that. And honestly, you're sitting on these sidelines. You're going, what are we doing here? Like, why am I here? There's some days where I'm like, never mind. I won't even go into that. But as a person, all of a sudden I started realizing like, okay, yeah, I'm at this soccer game. Okay. Start that simple prayer of, God, just start to show me people in this place. Instead of like, oh, I don't like that person, or oh, they're kind of loud and annoying, or whatever it might be. God, really start to break my heart for the people around me. Whatever they're walking through, whatever they're going through. Just stopping and looking them in the eyes, right? Making eye contact and saying, God, help me to see these people the way that you see them. And I really think that starts to change the way we it starts to change the way we do life and the way we walk through this world. God, help me to see them the way that you see them. You know, those cars that are on the road that we're driving next to, that sometimes you're like, what is wrong with these people? I'm guilty of that. I know I confess that a lot. It really is a problem. I'm working on it. But to see them not as just a car that's in my way or an inconvenience, but as people that there's an eternal destination for each and every soul out there. And God leaves the 99 for every one of those and says that one is worthy, that one has value. John, you need to start seeing these people as people that have value. People saw that value in me in my life and spoke into my life and made time and said, he's worth investing in. And so a lot of times it's just start to notice people. And that's hard. Like I said, this last year, I've been stuck in anxiety. I've been stuck in fear and worry about my own stuff. And it's been so hard to take my eyes off of myself and to put them on other people. And God really is convicting me in that. And I hope that it leads me to this place of, God, I want to be better. I want to do better in this. And that's my heart for each one of us in this place, is that we'd be better in that as well. So being intentional. If that's on the soccer field, on the sidelines of the soccer field. I remember we were at Pizza Ranch sitting with a couple that we were on the same, Connor's on the same basketball team as one of the kids. And they started talking about marriage and talking about real life stuff, like how, you know, they were struggling and things were going on, and like just being available in those moments, right? Real life stuff will come up. If we start opening our eyes and praying for those encounters and truly have this heart that says, I care and I want to be there, God will start to show you so many opportunities to chat. I think about our neighbors up in the parsonage. I'm like, man, they're moving in. I don't know where they're at with Jesus, but like, help me to be intentional with these neighbors here. And not just to be, you know, just to see them as tenants, as people who are living in this parsonage. When we're doing our hobbies, when I'm playing, I've played soccer a few nights with some adults in town, being intentional when I'm on the field, like playing a game that's been fun. I'm not good at it, but it's been fun. But being intentional in that, to represent Jesus well in those situations, so important. So being intentional, and the last thing that I wanted to, the last part of that was boldness and courage. Just praying, God, in this, give me, because I truly think that's honestly what stops us a lot of times. I think sometimes we care, we have, you know, we are somewhat intentional, but the last part of that is, I think, if we're honest, a lot of us have a lot of fear. You know, fear of being rejected, fear of looking dumb, fear of somebody judging you. And again, I'm not saying we got to go out and be pushy and be these people that just try to jam Jesus down people's throats and be obnoxious. But praying, God, give me a boldness and a courage to share the hope that I have with people around me because it matters. Because there are lost people out there. Aiden, would you come up for a minute? The last thing I want to do, again, just a reminder, and I didn't get into those things a lot. I just want to give a few minutes to just think through it too. But urgency, be intentional, boldness and courage. I'm going to have Aiden play. The last thing I want us to do is, again, as we think through the people that are in your lives, as you think through those people that are in your lives, I have to think through those people in my life. And just say, God, help me to stop, like, just glancing over these people, seeing them maybe as even obstacles in my life or annoyances in my life, and to really start to see them as people that you love and that you care about. And just letting that change my heart. I was inspired listening to Aiden and these other students that went to camp and just seeing how God was stirring something in their heart. I want God to stir in my heart. I want God to stir in all of our hearts where we're not just doing this to go through the motions. Right? It's so easy to do that, guys. It's so easy to show up, put in our time, go home, and not let any of it change anything we do. So easy to do that. And honestly, sometimes the longer we do it, the easier it is to do that. And so my prayer is this morning, just for a fresh touch from the God. I don't believe we do any of this outside of the Holy Spirit. You watch the disciples before the Holy Spirit empowered them. They scattered. They didn't get it. But all of a sudden, Jesus steps into their life, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden they're empowered. They were laser focused. And they immediately said, we're sent out and said, we're gonna go and share Jesus with the world. And you saw them do it with boldness and courage and passion. And so our prayer this morning, God, just renew my heart. Renew my mind this morning, God. Help me to see people the way you see people. Truly burden my heart for those that are lost and that don't know you. And the last challenge of that is just giving you a chance to close your eyes and just reflectively pray through this. But God, who might you be leading me to? Who are some of those people in my life that you might be calling me to be that light, to be that representative? We're called to be Christ's representative, to be his ambassador, to be his hands and feet. Again, I believe when we learn that God has a heart for the lost, we're a part of the equation of reaching out to those people and showing them who Jesus is. He's the one who changes hearts. But we're the ones that help point people to Jesus. Who might that be? And then as this week goes, God, pray for opportunity. Pray for words. Pray for insight into their lives. Like, literally, God, show me things about their lives in my heart. You know, things that maybe they're walking through. And I know sometimes that sounds a little creepy and a little weird to think that way, but God, start to reveal things about them, things I could pray for them with. And I really believe God's going to start to just do some incredible things in our life. I just want to give you a minute to do that, and then I'll just pray as I kind of feel led in that way, but just give you a moment to pray through that. Jesus, we're just so thankful for this morning. God, thank you for each and every person that is in this place, Lord. God, you know their story, God. You know every detail about their life, God, who they are, what their struggles are, God, what some of their fears are, what some of their goals are, Lord Jesus. I just pray this morning, not just another day, not just another Sunday, God, but an opportunity to encounter you, Jesus. You change everything, God. When we encounter you, everything changes. And God, I pray that our eyes, our minds, our hearts would be fixed on you this morning, God, that you would ignite a holy passion, a holy fire in us this morning. God, that we would have an overwhelming awareness of who you are, of your goodness, of your love, of your mercy, of your justice, God, that we would have an overwhelming sense of that this morning, God. We would know who you are in this place, Lord. God, wherever we're at in that journey, God, some I know are new to this. Some have been walking with you a long time. Some have not even made that decision. And God, I pray this morning that you begin to stir. God, continue to stir in hearts and lives. God, draw people to you. You already are. We know your heart is to seek and to save those who are lost. God, you are passionately seeking after those that don't know you. Just like a father pursues his child if they're lost, God, you are pursuing us as our heavenly Father. And I pray that that would become abundantly clear to us this morning, God. And as we have that understanding of who you are, Lord, it would move us. It would move us to a place of action, God, where we would start to see people the way that you see people. God, that you would call us to be people that reach the lost, God, that have a burden and a heart for people that don't know you, God. And not in a place of judgment or that we're better than them, but God, in this place of we've experienced who you are and your goodness, and we want to share that with them, God. So I pray that you begin to stir in hearts, God. Begin to put these people in our minds of who you might be leading us to reach out to, God. I pray that you start to prepare hearts, Lord Jesus, to receive from you, Jesus. Begin to soften their hearts towards you. God, I pray that we would understand that there is an urgency in this. It's not just wait because we've got another day. But there's an urgency because there are so many that don't know. God, I pray that you'd help us to be intentional in that, Lord, that we would see all these opportunities, all these times where we're with people as opportunities to be a friend, to walk with somebody and show empathy, to show kindness, to show peace. God, use us. And I pray against any fear, any doubts, any insecurities in this place that say, I'm not, God, you could never use me. Or, God, I'm too afraid what somebody might say or what somebody might think, Lord. God, I pray that we'd be filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered to be your witness, that we'd walk in kingdom confidence because we are your children. And you've called us to do a good work, God. I just pray it in your name. Amen. Hey, church, you guys are awesome. I hope you know I love you and I appreciate each and every one of you. Have an amazing day.